numbers told the story they always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin's here as well. It is a producer reunion today on the program. Right, Kelly? Isn't that always the case when it's you and I? It is technically a producer reunion, even though today it's even more of a producer
reunion. That's right.
Because on the show today, Danny Burke, half hour from now, Mike Pritchard at the top of the next hour, and then our guy Will Hill. Kelly, I haven't talked to Will Hill in who knows how long. It's been a long time since I talked to Will.
Well, why?
I don't know.
You guys just haven't been getting along recently?
I just haven't talked to him. I think that's because the Mets have been painfully average through the first 30 games. I think that's all it is. It would be good to talk to Will Hill. NBA, I'll get his thoughts on the early goings for both New York baseball teams as well, because the Yankees are painfully average too, Kelly. I know you pay attention to a lot of baseball.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Painfully average.
painfully average. So, Kelly, let's dive in. Before we get to Joel Embiid's MVP award getting awarded to him last night, Shams Charania, about 9 minutes ago, Kelly Bidlin, after Embiid won the award last night, went back to the team, turned to all of his teammates and said, "I'm back." According to Charania, the MVP is indeed on track to return tonight, barring any setbacks against the Celtics. And of course, Kelly, the line is on the move right now at a lot of spots. Was 10 pretty much everywhere overnight. Now 7.5 at the books that have moved it and have not just pulled it and basically trying to reconfigure their number. So right now you had a 10 behind us. I guess South Point just pulled their number, still looking to reconfigure. But that's what it was even 10 minutes ago, that it was Boston minus 10 coming off of really a vintage James Harden performance, not a 2023 James Harden performance in game one. And now with Embiid back, Kelly, I just want your thoughts on this real quick. We know that this is usually the best spot for a team that loses game one at home, come back, flip around, win game two. Even though the Knicks struggled and did not cover last night against Miami, the Knicks did win that game two last night at Madison Square Garden. With Embiid back, this is kind of more of just a game on scenario more than anything for me. I don't know if I would be able to just blindly lay, even now we're down to 7.5, lay 7.5 with the C's. Now with Embiid looking like he's coming back tonight.
Yeah, this is pretty shocking news to me, actually. After they captured game one, I thought it was kind of like we saw the Heat do with Jimmy Butler last night. You already took one, in Boston. I thought it made a lot of sense to give him another day of rest. This is, man, if you're a 76ers fan or a backer, I would be feeling really good. Right. Well, assuming he plays, I was going to say right now, but there's still.
I'd still feel good anyway.
There's still a long ways to go today, Jeff, before for NBA players to be ruled out that are ruled in, then ruled in, that are ruled out, and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, man, if he's coming back and playing in this game, I think that means Joel Embiid is probably 90%+ and feeling pretty dang good to be playing in a game where they already captured game one on the road in Boston. You could easily. Play this game out like the Heat did last night with a more limited lineup. Hey, you won game one with it, and then go back to Philly and give him a little extra rest time. So I think the sign that he's going tonight means he's feeling pretty dang good, and we might have a series on our hand.
Kelly, you want to know what another big number that just shifted? DraftKings, the odds to win the series, Kelly, which was +155. 5 minutes ago before the show started, it's now Philly +105. So a 50-cent move on a healthy Embiid now for game two.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. In all honesty, if Philly had won game one with a healthy Embiid, Philly's probably favored right now. So I actually still think, if you think Philly's going to win this series, if you think Embiid is, like you said, I agree with you, he's got to be at least +90%. If they're shoving him out there for game two with game one already in hand, Kelly, I look, I know Boston probably is still 7-point favorites, even if Embiid does go, probably 6.5. You probably do have to look at Philly at a plus price. I wouldn't shock me one bit if the Sixers win game two, and then all of a sudden it's Philly up 2 love heading home to off of Broad Street there at Wells Fargo. But look, it's all of a sudden this is totally flipped in a matter of 48 hours where it looked like, well, we're not even sure if Embiid's going to play at all in this series too. Okay, the Sixers are actually very not only alive here, but if they win tonight, this series might not even get back to Boston, as ridiculous as that may sound.
I don't think that's going to happen, Jeff.
I don't think either, but it's in play if they win tonight.
What I'm going to have difficulty doing is holding off betting the Celtics, actually. I think this move opens up an opportunity to get in on the Celtics at a nice price that you didn't have before this series.
Minus 130 now.
Yeah, minus 130, and we'll see if that number keeps moving throughout the day. You would expect a lot of bettors to get excited about Joel Embiid coming back. And look, I still think with Joel Embiid in or out of the lineup, this is still not the greatest of matchups for the 76ers. Got to deal with those extremely talented and athletic wings on the outside that they don't have the perfect defensive matchups for. But we saw Boston play a very clunky game one. I thought there were some coaching questions, them not adjusting to Harden on pick and rolls. Basically, the entire game burned them. There's some major question marks on the Boston Celtics after that game one. So, well, I'm really interested to see. This game just got a whole lot more exciting tonight, Jeff.
You know, there's a lot of things here, actually, just real quick, just in the way of just the whole playoffs now, Kelly, because with last night, first off, if the Knicks had lost last night, that series would not have returned to MSG. That I feel pretty good in, Kelly.
Yeah. They needed that one back.
If the Knicks had blown that game last night and a big run at the end of the game to win by 6, if they lost that game without Jimmy Butler playing for Miami, it would have been lights out for the Knicks, and it would have been the 8-seeded Heat. Probably, I think they would have swept that series, Kelly, and it would have not gone back to New York at all. Now, at least now you're in a scenario of Jimmy Butler's not 100%. If the Knicks can steal one of the next two, then we're back to a best of 3 with the Knicks having home court. Then it's still potentially game on for New York against Miami. And then really, Kelly, the late game was the one that was more important to me last night, because I wanted to see how two things played out last night. I wanted to see how Golden State looked off of, again, totally ridiculous, Golden State less than 48, basically 48 hours later, has to flip around and play a game one in the next series against the Lakers, and how they were going to handle guarding Anthony Davis. Kelly, I think it's safe to say they did not handle guarding Anthony Davis last night. Did not handle it at all. As the Lakers, really, in all honesty, were the right side for about 85-90% of the night and get it done with a 117-112 win, where Anthony Davis looked like a top 5 player in the league. He had 30-23 with 5 assists and 4 blocks. Last time I checked, that's pretty good, Kelly. And I this is not reactionary based off of what I saw last night. This is what I'm about to say is based off of what I've watched from the Lakers since the trade deadline and what we've seen so far in this postseason from them. I think they're winning the whole thing, Kelly.
Woo!
I think they're winning the whole thing.
All right.
You can call me a square better. You can call me square whatever. When those two dudes are healthy, and look, I don't think LeBron is 100%, but he's close enough. And AD is never 100% health-wise, but he's as close as he's going to be right now. The one team that scares me for them is Denver, which is totally backwards from what I would have said probably about 2-3 weeks ago. But the Lakers, to me, they're playing the best of everyone in the league going into playoffs right now, except for the Nuggets. And if you give me a 7-game series where it's LeBron against that franchise that, again, still has to get to the finals, the Nuggets have never been there, and as great as Jokic is and as great as Jamal Murray has looked in this postseason, if you're giving me LeBron in a conference finals against a team that has not been there and a group that has not been there, I'm taking LeBron James and Anthony Davis, assuming the health holds up. I think the Lakers are getting to finals, and I like them against whoever comes out of the East.
I can't. You know what? You're more bullish on them than I am, Jeff, but yep. I really can't argue against. It's a team that's – they got a lot going for them right now. this getting through this series is going to be huge, though. Getting that game one win last night was massive for them. And yeah, I had some bets on the game on the Lakers side of things. I think the Warriors have a big advantage in this series. You do have multiple threats on the outside that the Lakers are going to have a tough time matching up with this entire series. We saw some really, I thought, bold defensive strategy by the Lakers last night, really sinking whoever their bigs were out on the court, usually LeBron and AD, kind of back into that paint area, chasing everybody else out on the perimeter. It left it open to easy picks to be set, and then shooters coming off those with wide open looks. So this is going to be a series of adjustments. You've got two very experienced teams, like you're talking about, multiple superstars on the court. That I think this could look very different last night, but every night when these two teams meet. But last night was a good example of what we're going to get a good dose of is it's AD, and it's got to be AD for the Lakers to win this. The Warriors don't have a clean, easy matchup for him night in and night out. So he's the guy who's got to come up big for the Lakers, and he's going to get those kind of looks that he got last night basically every night. So he's got to keep making those shots, be aggressive, go to the rim. What they can't do is probably play him the entirety of the second half because he looked absolutely gassed at the end of it and wasn't doing much offensively.
Yeah, hey, look, Kelly, they're, for both of these teams, there are things to work out the rest of the series. But again, we're talking about a Golden State team that won almost 30% of the road game, or excuse me, 25% of the road games in that first round series against Sacramento. Joel Embiid won the MVP. Kelly and I have thoughts. That's next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app. That's BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and plenty more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Whatever sport, whatever betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander today. Kelly, tomorrow's Von Tobel, right?
Yeah, we got John JVT. Von Tobel the rest of the week. Yep.
There we go. JVT tomorrow and Friday. Matt Brown, of course, doing a great job Monday and Tuesday earlier in this week. No, I know. He was here earlier this week. I mean, I was hosting Best Bets this week, and Matt Brown was calling Jake Hahn a Canadian homer for liking the Oilers.
Hey, I got my Oilers ticket too. Let's go.
What, to win it all?
Yep.
What do you have?
I don't know, 10-1?
You can't say you have the ticket and you don't know what
Jeff,
it is.
Jeff, stop asking me difficult questions like, what have I bet recently? What? 10-1. 10-1, yeah.
Well, you have the best player in the tournament, that's for sure.
Let's go.
You probably have the two best players in the tournament.
I'm looking forward to getting down to the T-Mobile Arena one night and rooting against the hometown Golden Knights.
You should go tonight.
Yeah, I don't have time tonight, but yeah.
You don't have time tonight? Okay. Okay. Look, there's a game on Saturday.
There we go. Maybe Saturday.
Saturday afternoon. I think it's 4 o'clock local time, regardless.
I got a show, but yeah.
Yeah, hey, if you can go as soon as the show ends. Whatever, if the game goes multiple overtimes, you'll be all right.
That's right.
Let's go back to the NBA, though. Joel Embiid wins the MVP. And this is not much of a shock with how the narrative went the last month of the season and how the betting odds changed. And really, that game where Embiid... You would agree that that game where Embiid scored more than half of Philadelphia's points against Boston was the one that ended it, correct? That was the game that ended everything?
Yeah. I don't think one game ended up being the difference, but, I mean, we kind of saw in that final straw poll, really, where voters were leaning. I think they were starting to lean that way for a while. We saw results that were pretty close to that straw poll.
Right. Embiid, 73 first-place votes. 15 for Jokic, 12 for Giannis. Not that close when it's all said and done at 9:15. Total points for Embiid, 674 for Jokic, 606 for Giannis. Jokic actually much closer to Giannis in the end as opposed to Joel Embiid. Looking at this real quick, and you followed more than I do on this because this really felt like I don't want to call it a toxic last month of narratives that were around this award.
No, I think that's a perfect word for it. Yeah, no, it was toxic.
Okay, then I'll go with it.
People on Twitter are the worst.
It was toxic because basically the campaign, and here's what I'll say. I think Embiid winning the award actually was right when it was all said and done. And it's not a slight of Jokic, who was amazing again, who probably this year was better than, now Kelly, you have to help me on this. This year was better than last year. Was better than last year, correct?
Yeah,
year one was the one that was Jokic's best.
Correct.
So it was year one, year three, year two during this year 3 year run for Jokic, where he was MVP 2 years in 2 years in a row, and then second this year. But basically, the narrative that got thrown out there, and again, I think Embiid deserved it. He probably deserved it more last year than he did this year, but you know how this all works. And Embiid, by the way, at the peak of the market for him, this is according to Sports Odds History on Twitter, SO History. These are from MGM Odds. Embiid peaked at 20-1. That was way back on November the 13th to win it all. Mike Brown was 100-1. Yeah, I guess that makes sense because the Kings were not going to be any good, and the Beam ended up the third in the West.
Zinzik had a ticket. I think he had 180.
There are a lot of good tickets this year, huh? Mm-hmm. Brogdon at 30-1, sixth man early in the year. Markkanen began the year at 16, which, by the way, of all the awards this year, that was the most ridiculous that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did not win that award.
I appreciate you, Jeff, but yes, did
that was ridiculous.
Did I get a little upset about it yesterday when I'm looking at MVP results and I see 3 fourth-place votes for SGA, but he can't win most improved player for some reason? No, I'm okay with that. I've let it go.
And then Jaren Jackson Jr. 25-1. Kind of amazing that Triple J was 25-1 at any point this year.
Yeah, he was. His odds kind of did roller coaster a few times. Like, I was able to get him like 3-1, Jeff. It was only a couple months before this end of the season. So,
yeah. Regardless, though, back to Embiid real quick, because this is a deserved MVP, regardless of what people will say. But it was really just ridiculous all the way around, the narrative that ended up getting thrown around with Jokic. Denver not playing their best basketball the last 6 weeks didn't help. But in the end, there's no argument for me what happened here. I think Embiid is a rightful MVP. If they had given it to Jokic or Giannis, I would not have had a problem either. There was no wrong choice this year in the 2022-2023 season.
I really think
there was no wrong choice.
Yeah, I think you're dead on. This was, look, if I had a vote, it would have gone to Nikola Jokic, but I am very okay with Joel Embiid winning. He had an awesome year. Leading scorer in the NBA, over 11 rebounds a game. I mean, when you're talking about what this guy did for this team, and really what he's done the past few years, because that's this conversation and why people are upset, or what these three players have done over the course of the past 3, 4, 5 years now, really has been incredible. So I would have given it to Jokic, but I wasn't going to have a problem if any of these three guys won, Jeff. I think you can make arguments for all three of them.
You can make arguments for all three of them for sure. And yeah, look, Giannis is at a point now where Giannis, when he won his two, were probably, his fourth and fifth best seasons now?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I'll tell you, though, Jeff, like, we heard a lot from during the season about how much this mattered or didn't matter to these guys. I want to play this from the Sixers last night.
Yes, please.
Tell me this is a guy that this doesn't matter to.
Tonight, 2023 MVP from the Philadelphia
76ers. Yeah! Like, that's a cool moment.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's okay. Like, I think all these people are like, we heard so much during the year, and including from some of these guys, about how the award doesn't mean anything to them. They want to win championships. It's okay to want to win both. Like, that's cool to see last night. That means a lot to Joel Embiid. You can tell that.
Oh, definitely, and especially, too, again, with Kelly, where it's just last year, most years Embiid wins going away last year.
Yeah.
Going away. It's not even a competition. And to get it this year where, look, this was a weird year for the Sixers, all things considered. This was a very weird year for them, even though they ended up, honestly, exactly where everyone expected them to. One of the top three teams in the Eastern Conference. Probably a clip below Boston and Milwaukee, which is exactly where they landed. But, look, it matters, regardless of what everyone says. You know it matters. You voted the best player in your league. That matters. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what is said, I should say. It does matter to the players, as you know. And clearly that video from the Sixers on Twitter definitely meant it in a conference room in some random hotel in Boston, right? I mean, that was like the most conference room-looking room of all time, basically. You know,
I did not get the details for you on that, but I thought the same thing. Yeah. That is the most. I thought ballroom at first, but yes, you're right. Conference room, ballroom, whatever.
They're all the same, basically.
All the same thing, but yes, it's some random hotel in Boston, yes.
Going to the series prices real quick before we get to our guy Dan Burke in the next segment. Kelly, just looking at the Sixers and the Celtics, this moved pretty significantly over the last 25 minutes. Remember, Joel Embiid, the report from Shams Charania, Embiid is trending towards playing in Game 2. Barring a setback, he will be playing tonight in Boston. That went from plus 155 to plus 105 on the Sixers, minus 130 now in Boston. You said in the last segment, this is an opportunity to go in on the Celtics. Do you think you're going to end up doing it?
No, I got to see them. I would have said yes before that last game if I knew they were going to lose game one, Jeff. I need to see this Boston team play a little bit more cohesive basketball here tonight. So I'm not, but I think if you were someone who was very high on Boston, this is an opportunity for you, which the one I probably will be going in on today is Golden State.
I know Butler's hurt, and I know he's not 100%, but I'm a little surprised Miami isn't bigger. The minus 115 in a 1-1 series with home court.
I think I don't disagree, but I think the part of it is the fact that Julius Randle came back too, right?
Sure. So you're now it's two things coupled.
Right, exactly. Yes, you got to adjust this price multiple times, right?
Still a little surprised with how that game went last night. I mean, Miami probably should have won that game last night.
That was a must win for the New York Knicks.
And they got it.
They barely got it.
Brunson did what he needed to do down there. And how about Hardenstein with all those offensive rebounds, basically extending possessions for the Knicks? Game 3, it's Friday night in Miami. Hey, Danny Burke, it's a true producer reunion next on a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's a lot of things to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets the insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, VSiN's upcoming Kentucky Derby betting guide, only available to VSiN Pro subscribers right now. So you get access to daily recap of top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now, just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin's here as well. And to complete the producer reunion, we bring in our guy Danny Burke right now. You can hear Danny on the VSiN Hockey Betting Podcast, him and Andy McNeil 5 days a week during the Stanley Cup playoffs with a new background and all. Our guy Dan Burke with us now. Danny, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, appreciate you having me back on. Always good when we can get the trio back in action. And, hey, no better time to do it than during the postseason, eh?
No, absolutely. Again, Danny, this has been a pretty hectic week in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They usually are. Let's be real with ourselves. Both Colorado and Boston are gone. Kraken, first team in NHL history in their first playoff appearance to have their first series win ever against the defending cup champs. The Bruins, the best team in the history of the regular season, gone. And both the teams that upset them, the Kraken and the Panthers, last night go on the road in game ones on short rest. Bobrovsky was good last night. Panthers beat Toronto 4-2. And despite four goals from Joe Pavelski, the Kraken find a way, 5-4. And Danny, I'll just ask you this. With both those lower seeds up 1-0, Who do you give the better shot of being able to pull an upset here already with a game ahead out of the gate here for both the Kraken and the Panthers?
Yeah, I would say probably the Panthers have a better chance in terms of pulling through. And it's not like I have any vendetta against the Toronto Maple Leafs and just think that they're due to lose. I bet the Maple Leafs in their first round series over the Lightning. I really like this team a lot. I guess it's more me giving a lot of credit now to Florida based on how they've played and the fact that offensively they can keep up with anybody versus in the other series. I still feel like Dallas is a top team, a premier team. Them and the Oilers are the best in my mind in the Western Conference, and I envision them both going through to the next round. So as great as Seattle has been and what they've done, let's be honest, round one against the Avalanche, this Colorado team is nowhere close to the squad they were during the championship run. And then they were dealt with so much adversity this year, dealing with so many injuries to where, yeah, let's be honest, we still expected Colorado to advance, but I guess it wasn't the most appalling thing that the Kraken, in terms of what they possess offensively, were able to keep up with them and then win. I think Grubauer is going to end up slacking and regressing in this second round. Now, I know that they got the first game dub, but look, this happened in game one against the Wild for the Stars, right? They went to double overtime, controlled the entirety of overtime. Some puck luck came through, and then the Wild won. Well, this game last night, it was just ridiculous that Jake Oettinger, very, very odd for him to allow that many goals, for any goalie to allow that many goals in the first period, but especially a goalie of the stature of Jake Oettinger. But then he figured it out, right? And then Pavelski was just on cloud nine that entire game. And I'm sitting there watching this going, if you manage to lose this game when Pavelski comes back and you score four goals, like, what the heck are we doing here? But again, it was the same momentum type of deal to where Dallas had it going in overtime. They got a lot of good opportunities, couldn't capitalize. So you're like, well, you're letting this team stick around a little bit too long to where some puck luck is inevitably going to come to fruition. And that's essentially what happened with the Kraken last night. But I do think Dallas is better offensively, has the edge in the net. And look, game ones are always a little bit fluky. So I think Dallas will take care of business. But in that other series, oh man, I mean, Florida is something else. And we know that Toronto still, regardless when in the first round series, likes to make it more difficult than they can. And you just look at some of these numbers for them, and they've been tremendous. So it wouldn't shock me if Florida advances, but it would if the Kraken did.
Danny, you want fun with numbers real quick?
Let's get it, baby. Come on.
I know you love that. Tom Golitti of NHL.com, usually, this is what he tweeted last night, winning game one is usually a good thing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Game one winners have gone on to win 67.9% of best-of-seven NHL series all time. Round one, Danny, that was only good for 25% this go-around. Only Seattle and Carolina, the only teams to win game one and go on and win their series. So even by Stanley Cup playoff numbers, that was a ridiculous round one. Totally ridiculous.
And Jeff, too, something that stood out that people were tweeting about that I saw, if you go on sites like, say, Evolving Hockey or, you know, any kind of those analytical sites where you can see the metrics, 7 out of 8 of the teams that had the higher expected goals force percentage ended up winning their series. Who had a higher one in the regular season and then a higher one in their respective series. The only exception was the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Seattle Kraken for those categories. So keep that in mind, too, going forward. Your Devils, Jeff, had the number one post-round one expected goals force percentage per 60 minutes. So just consider that going forward. VGK was up there as well. Edmonton coming in at 3, and then the Hurricanes at number 4. And then, of course, we get all their action tonight.
Let's go to those series. We'll get to Edmonton and Vegas in a little bit because I know the way you're leaning on that. Going to the Eastern Conference series. Devils and Carolina, quick turnaround for New Jersey after dispatching of their rival, the Rangers. New Jersey's a -130 favorite without home ice at DraftKings. And Danny, I know Carolina survived the Islanders. That was really not an overly impressive series from the Canes. They just scored enough against an Islander team that had a lot of offensive problems all year. New Jersey is the better team here, Danny.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of them having enough in the tank after coming back from 2-0 down to beating their biggest rival in round one.
And, you know, we kind of attributed that with the Panthers and the Kraken as well. But again, these game ones are a little bit wonky, and sometimes you can carry that momentum of winning those series into game one instead of the old adage of having the weary legs, right? I think that can maybe be something that you shouldn't worry about too much. But I get what you're saying, and that could certainly catch up at some point in the series. But, man, I mean, Akira Schmidt has just been, again, on another planet since he's been in the net. Second throughout round one in goals saved above expected compared to the other goalies remaining in the postseason. And speaking of goalies, Jeff, I mean, with the Hurricanes now, you don't know if they're going to be going with Raanta or if they're going to be going with Anderson. I hate the idea of teams flirting with going back and forth. The Minnesota Wild did the same thing. Now, if you do it because your goalie just absolutely blows in one of these games or needs to be changed in the roster, I get that. But going into the series saying, yeah, we could use a tandem, like, no, that's never been a recipe for success. And you mentioned Carolina, a team that has been dealing with so many injuries all year and eventually are going to fall short in this postseason. They once were a team we thought could compete with Boston. Obviously, they didn't even get the chance. But the point is, the Hurricanes got a very favorable round one matchup. The Devils will wreak havoc on them. And the way I'm going to approach it more than likely is bet game one for New Jersey instead of their series price, because you're getting a better price on them for game one than you are for the series. And if they win game one, awesome. Then I cash my bet for game one. If not, all right, then I'll get a series adjusted price that's better than what it was coming into it. And then I'll gladly look to jump back in on the Devils, because like you said, they are the far better team than Carolina right now. And I think that will show itself out on the ice.
Danny, going to the other series starting tonight. Edmonton without home ice favored, minus 150 against VGK. Danny, you and I have talked about the Knights, where the underlying numbers don't show the team that they were record-wise. They get destroyed in game one by Winnipeg and then totally dominate the last four games with a backdoor sweep. Now they get Edmonton, who, Danny, they played with their food in round one, 1-6. I would just like to see Edmonton be focused for a whole seven-game series, Danny. Is that too much to ask of these Oilers?
Apparently it is. I'm with you, man. Yeah, Andy and I in the podcast, we're sweating out some Oilers futures to come out of the Western Conference. So we'd certainly love a seamless win tonight and series against the Golden Knights. But now you said it, man. I mean, Vegas has been playing over their heads, it seems like, for quite some time. And look, all credit to them for getting past their first round against the Jets. A lot of people, myself included, thought it would at least be more of a competitive series and that the Jets would have a chance, but then you saw injuries catch up with them, and the defense not play as good as you would have thought. Vegas's defense, on the other hand, very, very solid. It's just offensively, can they keep up with Edmonton? And then the concern for the Oilers is Stuart Skinner, the rookie goaltender, who clearly had his flaws in round one, Jeff. So obviously, I'm leaning toward Edmonton. I love the short price you're getting on them in game one. I don't know if I'm going to bet it just because we saw so many in-game opportunities with Edmonton in the first round. I think the same thing will be present here as we've seen in so many games. So I say wait and see if a team goes down if you like Edmonton and then look to attack them in-game.
He's Danny Burke. You can find him on the VSiN Hockey Betting Podcast with him and Andy McNeil on the tweets at DannyBurke5. The producer reunion, we'll have to wait till next time, Danny. Pleasure as always, buddy. Thanks for hopping on today.
You got it, guys. Take care. Thank you.
Kelly's golf preview of the week coming up next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Call your shot every Wednesday at BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a $25 home run prop wager on any game, and you receive a $10 bonus bet. Simply log into your account and opt in, or download the app and download and sign up with BetMGM to swing for the fences on MLB Call Your Shot Wednesdays. It's just one more reason why the King of Sportsbooks is the best place to bet on baseball. BetMGM and BetSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. This promotional offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Washington, D.C., and Nevada. Should just be on all those offers, not Nevada. Doesn't matter what the offer is.
Yeah, that's why you read it every time.
Right? I know. It's every time. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the offer is. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin's here as well. Happy to be with you. Before we get to Kelly's thoughts on the Wells Fargo Championship this week, the biggest news in worldwide sports, because I know Kelly loves soccer. You're a big soccer guy back there.
Hey, man, I get into betting soccer this time of year.
Leo Messi.
You know, tailing people smarter than me.
But now, Paul Carr. Well, I would imagine Paul Carr's here on Friday, so tell Paul Carr, mm-hmm. You're usually in pretty good shape. Leo Messi is not returning to PSG. That's Paris Saint-Germain at the end of the year. He's done at the end of the season there, which begs the question, is Messi finally taking Miami? Is he finally going to take Miami? Which is what we all expected at some point. By the way, one other thing real quick on soccer before we get to your picks.
Well, this was – so what he was suspended?
He was suspended for 2 weeks because he had some promotional deal in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
That he had to do, and they had a – PSG had a horrible loss to Lorient over the weekend, and he left after the game, and they were like, we didn't give you permission. See you for 2 weeks. The PSG will be fine, by the way. They have Mbappe, they have Neymar. They're going to be okay. Not really worried about PSG. They'll be all right. But you know what would have been funny, remember, because, Kelly, remember Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, goes and is currently playing in Saudi Arabia right now. He, you know, his MLS rights were for Sporting Kansas City. Could you imagine?
Who was?
This is for Ronaldo.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine if Ronaldo had to go play in Kansas City? You know, like that would have been the reverse lasso, the reverse Ted Lasso, which, of course, as you know.
Yeah, good call.
It would have been amazing.
Reverse lasso. Yeah,
would have been
like
amazing
that.
If that had happened. well, that's probably more than enough soccer for today. But, Kelly, let's get into it. Wells Fargo Championship, one of the better non-major events on the tour during the year. We're 2 weeks away from the PGA Championship. And Rory McIlroy is your favorite this week at the Wells Fargo.
Yeah, we've got we are back to elevated event status, Jeff. So big time money back on the line this week.
Big time field then too.
Yeah, big time field. You will notice a couple names missing off the top of this leaderboard. All these guys that are allowed to miss one of these elevated events. So no John Rahm, no Scottie Scheffler last week. John Rahm defending his Mexico Open Championship last week is why he's not here this week. And then Scottie Scheffler, everybody kind of assuming will be playing in Texas next weekend, so kind of taking off this week. So this leaves Rory McIlroy at the top of the leaderboard. We're at a spot where Rory McIlroy has absolutely dominated. We are back at Quail Hollow this year for the Wells Fargo Championship. We were at Potomac last year as they used this course for the President's Cup. But Rory, Jeff, when we're talking about dominance in golf, you're talking about true strokes gained at a singular course in their last 16 rounds played. Tiger Woods at Bay Hill, over three strokes gained over the field. Patrick Cantlay at TPC Summerlin here in Vegas is number two. And then Rory McIlroy at Quail Hollow absolutely dominates this course. We've seen Rory, though, in a little bit of rough form. Two missed cuts for him after that really, really hot stretch during the winter and beginning of the spring. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can bounce back here in an elevated event, but a slightly watered-down field with no Rahm or Scheffler. Going to be pretty big spot for him to come up here. I'm not doing anything betting with or against him this week. I think this is a good spot for him to bounce back after almost a month off, get his game back underneath him, start prepping for the PGA Championship. Patrick Cantlay, I was interested in. I might end up on still this week, but he switched caddies this week, borrowing Tiger's caddy now going forward. So that's an interesting wrinkle that I think is going to keep me off him at least pre-tournament. I might get involved live with him. And then you've got Tony Finau right there at 14-1 as well. Tony Finau winning last week in Mexico, coming to play this week. So pretty big big trio at the top when we talk about guys that have been playing really well here over the past 6 months or so. Then you got Xander Schauffele 16-1, Cameron Young all the way down to 18-1 now. Jordan Spieth 18, Victor Hovland 18-1, Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas at 22-1, Fitzpatrick, Sungjae Im, Jason Day all 25-1. All those odds over at DraftKings. And so you've got a top – this is a top-heavy course, just a top-heavy tournament, quick course breakdown. Par 71, you only got three par fives over here at Quail Hollow. 61 bunkers, six water danger holes for them to deal with. You're putting on Bermuda this week, which is going to be a big – tell for what I'm about for my picks when I get there. You're talking about a long and tough course. This is one of the most difficult courses on the tour. It played fourth toughest since 2016, fourth longest course on the tour. This is one of those courses, Jeff, where you really want to bomb it down there. If you miss the fairway a little bit, you'll be okay. As long as you don't get into the trees off the tee, you're okay. So strokes gained off the tee mattering a lot here. Distance going to matter a ton for these players. We'd have seen since 2014, with the exception of James Hahn, winner has ranked inside the top 15 in driving distance for the week here while they're playing. So that was really what I was looking at stat-wise as I was building my models this week, or looking for real bombers off the tee, guys that are really good on approach. But this is a tough course. This is going to be a true test of all parts of the of golf. So when it gets to my bets, I only ended up with one outright bet this week. I think the outright betting is really difficult this week. You have Rory at the top of the field at 7-1. And then once you get past there, it's kind of a bunch of guys you would expect you would get longer odds with if John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler were playing in this event. But because they're not, you kind of get guys that we see usually in the 20s, low 20s, mid-20s, chopped down into the high teens. So that's what we're looking like with, you know, guys like Xander Schauffele, Victor Hovland, Jordan Spieth, all down into that 16-18-1 range. So the outrights, I think it makes it a little bit more difficult to bet this week. I think there's a lot of question marks with some of the guys at the top of the board. There's a lot of guys that just don't have a ton of win equity that you're betting in 20-1 or shorter. So I only went with one outright bet this week. I went with Sam Burns, 33-1. Sam Burns, but quietly been playing better golf here recently. He finished 11th at the Heritage, 29th at the Masters, 6th at the Valspar, 35th at Players. Playing, he had a kind of up and down season to begin with, but really playing a lot better golf here recently. So an outright in the top 20 on Burns. Burns the only outright bet that I made. Top 20 on him as well, though. Biggest bet of the tournament for me is Xander Schauffele, top 20. Do like him this week. He's been playing incredibly consistent golf. Has hit top 20s in six of his last eight tournaments. So that has been cashing pretty regular for Xander. Not the longest guy off the tee, but great approach game. Should be able to do well in this event, and has played pretty well here in the past. One of the other guys that played a top 20 on, Patrick Rogers, 3-1. This is a guy I'm just trying to catch kind of on the upswing right now. Finished 10th at the Mexico Open, 19th at the RBC Heritage, 5th at Valero. And those are his past three tournaments. You're seeing top 20 in three straight. Long off the tee, should fit this course well. So trying to play a bit of a longer number there, 3-1 on a top 20 for him. Also played him in a matchup over Chris Kirk. Chris Kirk, great with his irons, but not exactly long off the tee. Doesn't fit this as well. Victor Hovland, I do really like this week. Just couldn't get there on an outright bet with him. I think if you want to play him in the top 20 market, that could be a good bet. I chose to play him in a matchup here in town over Justin Thomas at a plus price, and then also played him as top continental European as a prop bet. And then a couple just long shots on guys that I bet often because they're great ball strikers but have problems putting. Emiliano Grillo and Gary Woodland, just taking flyers in the top 10 market on them at about 6-1 and 10-1 on Grillo. So that's everything I got this week, Jeff.
The one thing that stood out during the whole thing, we were going through graphics, Homa was 100-1 pre-pandemic, or excuse me, 500-1. 500-1 pre-pandemic?
That's how much better he's become as a golfer in the past couple of
years.
That's
amazing. Yep. I would never expected any sort of price like that on him, except for like when he was an amateur. That's amazing.
He's a guy that he struggled through many years of his career. Yeah. He's a completely different golfer.
No, now he's one of the 20 best pretty easily. Hey, when we come back, Mike Pritchard, our senior NFL analyst, joins us next. His thoughts from last week's NFL draft on A Numbers Game.